here's what God wants you to know. Sometimes He gives the explanation. Sometimes He doesn't because, well, it's pretty obvious what He's saying. But in Luke chapter 18, He gives us a parable. And in that parable, He talks about being faithful in prayer. I have the impression that you want to be as effective in your prayer life as I want to be in mine. And that means that every time I pray, I want God to answer it. Isn't that how you are? I mean, can you imagine praying and saying, well, God, you don't have to worry about this one, okay? I'll just say some words and we'll go on and skip over a few. Now, we want God to answer it every time we pray. It is significant to us, and so we take it to God, and we know that He knows it already, but we want Him to know how significant it is to us. And God says, you pray about that. And that tells me how much you really feel about it. And that is a part of our faithfulness in prayer. That when there are things that are going on or things that are going to happen, we spend time in prayer before that event. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus teaches us about prayer. Now, it's very common in Jesus' teaching to teach the disciples about praying. Different aspects. He gives us a model for how to pray. He talks about different people who pray and why they pray. This particular parable is a little different than most. And we're going to go through it. It's very short. It won't take us very long. And we'll work our way through it. Now, I remember that we had a time change. Matter of fact, if you came here for class and you don't usually come for class because you forgot to set your clock to hour, I just wish they wouldn't announce it. And everybody show up for class. But anyway, so what we're going to do is go through Luke chapter 18. Now, I told you each parable has one point. That Jesus, every time He teaches a parable, is teaching one thing. And in Luke 18, Luke tells us the point that Jesus makes before He gives us the parable. He says, here's why Jesus is teaching this parable. Look in chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke says, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Listen, Jesus wants you to be persistent in your prayer life. If your kids come to you and they ask for something, or your grandkids come and they ask for something and they just ask one time and they never ask for it again, what's your response? Well, they must have not really been serious about it. But if they come back and 10 minutes later they're back again, and the next day they're at you again, and on and on, and they're persistent in that prayer, you get to thinking, you know, maybe they're really serious about this. And so we learn something about ourselves and how we feel about things based on our persistence in prayer. And Jesus says that when you pray, you want to pray to accomplish God's will on earth. I mean, that is extremely vital. And we are praying to God that His will be done. We're praying that what God wants to have happen here on the earth is what happens. And how we're going to be a part of that, and how we can be effective in making God's will happen here on the earth. And God doesn't have to use us. But if we are available to Him, and if we are open for Him, and if we're willing to learn from Him and do what He wants us to do, that's what we discover in prayer. And so Jesus teaches this parable so that we will pray and pray again, and pray again, and pray frequently. Luke's words are, pray and not give up. Be persistent. Be faithful in praying. Now, have you ever known anybody that thought prayer was a waste of time? That they don't spend time in prayer because, well, you know, when I pray, God never listens anyway. I know He never listens because I never get an answer that I want. Well, that's a real exercise in futility. That's a very difficult position to be in. To think that when I pray, God doesn't listen. To think that when I pray, God doesn't care. To think that my prayers make no difference. So why would we pray in that situation? But Jesus teaches His disciples parables and direct teachings about prayer to let you know that God listens every time you pray. But there are prayers that are more effective than others. There are prayers that God will not listen to. There are prayers that move the hand of God. There are prayers that show God how we feel about something. There are prayers that honor God. And there are prayers that are trying to honor the person who's praying. You know, Jesus talked about a Pharisee who prayed about himself. And God answers some kinds of prayers, and other kinds of prayers He doesn't. And so the teachings of Jesus through parables and direct teachings of prayer is so that we will be more effective in our prayer. That every time we pray, we believe that God hears and God will answer that prayer according to His will and how He wants that done. So in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we have a prayer, a parable here that is to teach us that we should always pray and not give up. Now, let's look at the parable. The parable comes in verses 2 through 5. Jesus said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.'" Now, you can imagine this little widow in her Nike tennis shoes. I mean, she keeps coming and she keeps coming and she keeps coming. And finally, this judge says, "Look, give her what she wants. She is wearing me out." Now, that's the story that Jesus gave. Now, understand, in the majority of the parables that Jesus shares, he's making comparisons. Matter of fact, there's a lot of parables that Jesus says that starts out, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and he gives a story to be a comparison for us what people who God reigns in their life are going to live like. This isn't one of those. This parable is a contrast. In this parable, Jesus says, well, here's this situation, but this is what God is like. Here's this person, but that's not what you're supposed to be like. And so what I want you to notice is the great contrast. In this parable, there's two characters in the parable. He says the first one is a judge. And he describes for us the most harsh judge he can think of. We only know two things about this judge. Neither one is very good. This judge says, "I don't fear God and I don't care about people." That's one tough dude. He just says, "You know, I don't care what you think. I don't care if there's any other supreme power. I have all power. I have all authority. I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what you think because I don't care about you either." That's this judge that Jesus is talking about. And then the other character in the story is the widow. Now, widows in that culture are a whole lot different than widows in our culture today. And granted, widows in our culture today still struggle with it. My mom's a widow, been a widow for 15 years. And they still struggle with that, but it's nothing like the struggle of widows in the first century. You see, in the first century, in Bible times, the widow was one of the most helpless segments of culture. You see, the reason a woman got married was because she had no public voice. For her to express an opinion in public, her husband had to do that. If there were legal issues, her husband had to take advantage of that. And so when a woman lost her husband, she lost her public voice. She lost her ability to go out in public and to express her opinion. She lost her ability to act for herself out in public because she has now no one else to do that. And here's this widow who goes this great, harsh judge. And while she's lost her voice, she says, "Listen, something's going to get done. I'm going to have to do it myself." And so he goes and she pleads for justice. Now that's the story. That's the characters of the story. And our tendency is to think, well, you know, God is like that judge. And we're like that widow. And that would be incorrect. See, the point that Jesus is making in regarding prayer and persistence is that here's this judge, and he is harsh, and he's cruel, and he doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about authorities. He just says, "It's all about me." And yet this woman gets her answer. Can you imagine if you're going before a loving God who cares about you, how much more God wants to answer your prayer and grant your request and give you what you want than this harsh judge? We're making a contrast here between a loving God and a harsh judge. And here's this widow who needs justice. And she goes to this man who doesn't fear God, who doesn't care about people. And she gets what she needs because of her persistence. Can you imagine what it's like when you go to a God who cares for you, who loves you, who's given His Son for you, who's concerned about your life, who's concerned about your welfare, who's concerned about answering every prayer that you pray? What kind of answer will you get from a God like that? as opposed to a judge like this. Also, we are not the widow. God, Jesus is not comparing you with the widow in the story. This widow is helpless. This widow needs a lot of other people to come in, and there's no one else to do it. Because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are not helpless. Because our relationship to God through Jesus Christ, we are not in a position of weakness and failing and difficulty and struggle and stress in our life. Now, there are circumstances that create stress in us. But when you go before the one who will answer your prayer, you're not going helpless. You're not going in weakness. The Bible talks to us about going before God boldly, going before God in confidence, going before God knowing He's our Father, that He loves us, and He will listen when we pray. This widow doesn't know if the king's willing to listen or not. And she remains persistent to get His attention, to finally get her justice. And we're not like that with God. And Jesus teaches this parable, and He gives us specifically these two characters to say, if in this situation a widow lady can get justice from a harsh and cruel judge, can you imagine if you as God's child go before a father who loves you with your request, isn't he more likely than this to answer your prayer? I mean, he really makes a great contrast for us. Now, the question that we want to close with, it's going to take me a little while to get there, okay? But we are going to get there. The question that we're going to close with is, then why did Jesus tell this parable? I mean, we know what the point was, but what's His purpose behind all this? Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? Oh, I tell you, He will see whether they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" Here's this unjust judge. And it says that this woman got justice. She got vindicated. She got what she needed. The question is, what's going on behind the scenes? Why does Jesus use this particular issue, for this woman needs justice? If you understand the culture in the biblical days, especially in the days of Jesus, you realize that the Romans are in charge of the land. The Roman government has come in and taken control. The Roman senators, the Roman procurators, the Roman emperor sets the standards for what happens in the land of Israel. Now, Israel has no great political consequence. Israel as a land is only good for one purpose. Most people don't travel by sea. Most people are scared to death of the water, and because they go by land. And if you're going to go from Mesopotamia or Babylon in the north to Egypt in the south, you're going to travel through the land of Israel. And so it's a buffer zone. It's called the land between. And if you control the land of Israel, then you can control traffic. And you can charge taxes, and you can say who goes through and who doesn't go through. So the land of Israel isn't a really, really good political place in the Roman world. So they put their weakest guys out there, guys like Pontius Pilatus, who's a really weak guy. And that's why he's in charge, because, well, you know, out there, not much goes on anyway. But in this story, we find that the Romans are in charge over the people of Israel. And folks are losing the family farm. They're being taxed so much they have to give up their land that's been with their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather and in their possession for centuries and generations. It gets lost now. And they lose that family farm, and the life is filled with injustice, and the Romans aren't treated unfairly. And they sit back and say, you know, if we could just get justice, if we could just get what we deserve, and there becomes two options. And in essence, Jesus puts out the question, and the question is, where do you get justice? Do you get justice by becoming a social bandit, these leste we talked about last week? These guys who've lost the family farm, who live up in caves, and who rob and plunder and have violence against fellow Jews who are wealthy because, well, they must be going along with the Romans? Or do you trust God? Do you trust God to take care of you? You trust God to make things right. you look to God for vindication? Do you look for God for justice in your life? Or do you try to grab it with violence? And Jesus in this story talks about a woman who's looking for justice, and that they would easily identify with this woman in the story. And you can imagine when Jesus talks about this woman with her Nike tennis shoes on, and she's running back and forth with this judge, trying to get justice. There's something shaking that going, yeah, that's right. She needs justice. We all need justice. What do we do about the Romans? Where do we get justice? And Jesus is saying, doesn't that come from God? And if this woman can get justice from the harsh judge, can't God come in here and give justice for you as well? As a matter of fact, the Old Testament is full of messages about God's anger being slow and how He takes care of His people. Matter of fact, in the Greek text, when the NIV says, will He keep putting them off? Literally, the text says that God is long-suffering. That's what the text says. That's why God is generous with His people, because He's able to bear with them. And although they create problems for Him, and they just, you know how people can be sometimes. And yet God continues to bless them. God continues to fight for them. God continues to watch over them, and God brings them justice. And He says that when it's time for that, and God gives that justice, won't He give it quickly? Or maybe your Bible says swiftly. And the word there doesn't mean you get it right away. It may take a while. But when it comes, He says it will come quickly. It won't take very long. That God will not leave it half undone. When it's time for justice in your life and God's going to provide that, He says He'll take care of it at the right time and the fullest measure. But then He asks this question. This question doesn't seem to make a lot of sense here, the way it's worded in our English Bibles. Right in this story about getting justice, this woman persisting and going off and asking this judge, and Jesus trying to teach us about praying for a loving Father, and He ends this discourse with a statement, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Well, what does that have to do with what He's talked about? I'd like to suggest to you an alternate translation. That when Luke writes these words down, the word for faith can also be translated with another word. And it's the word faithfulness. You go back to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And you have the fruit of faith or faithfulness. And this particular context, I think what Jesus is saying here is that when it comes time for God to act, when God's going to come out and bring justice, and He comes to the earth, will He find this faithfulness? What faithfulness? What has He been talking about? Faithfulness in prayer. We find people who spend time praying about this instead of being social activists and going out and attacking other people and doing political issues, or people turning to God in prayer, or people turning to God and asking for God's answer to this question regarding justice in their life. Will God find this faithfulness in praying on the earth? So Jesus is teaching us about persistence. That when there's things that don't seem right, when there's injustice that happens to us and we want to make things fair, that we go to God and we are persistent in praying to God, asking for God to come in here and do something about it, and God says, I will act, and when the time comes in, I will act swiftly and take care of it completely. But there's one more thing we need to note about prayer in this story. The other thing about praying is this. Jesus says that we are to pray until we get an answer. In this story, this woman goes to the judge. She doesn't just go one time and state her case and never go back. But in the story, she goes and she goes again and she goes again and she goes again until she wears this judge down, and she goes until she gets an answer. And Jesus teaches us about prayer is teach us that we pray until we get an answer. That's part of faithfulness in prayer, is praying until we get an answer. But understand this. Jesus is not saying that you pray until you get the answer that you want. It's like the child that goes to mom and dad and asks for a cookie and goes back and keeps asking and keeps asking and keeps asking until finally they wear mom down and say, okay, here's a cookie. Jesus says you pray until you get an answer. It may not be the answer that you want, but you've got God's answer. Let me give you an illustration of the life of the Apostle Paul. in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And what did Paul say? Paul said, I prayed for God to remove this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, because I could be so much more effective if I didn't have that. And Paul didn't just pray about it one time. He prays about it a second time. He prays about it a third time. He's praying until he gets an answer. And he gets an answer. And the answer is not the answer that he wanted. The answer he wanted was what? He wants God to say, I'll get rid of it. And God says, no. Because I want people to focus on my power and what you can do through this disability more than what you can do without it. And Paul said, at that point, I stopped praying about that. You see, I got the answer. It wasn't the answer I wanted, but it's the answer of God. And once Paul got the answer from God about this, and he realized God wasn't going to give him what he wanted, he changed his prayer. And his prayer was, God, how can we use this? How can I be more effective? How can I take this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, and use it to glorify and honor you? Jesus, in teaching us about persistence in prayer, is not pray till you get the answer that you want. It's pray till you get the answer from God. And once you have the answer from God, then you pray, how do I use that? Now, that's going to mess up some of those praying that we've done. That's going to create some problems for us because, God, that wasn't what I wanted. And God says, yeah, well, that's what you need. That's what needs to happen here. Will you be persistent in praying till you get an answer, God's answer? Will you be faithful in prayer till you know what it is that God wants in the situation? Will you pray till you get God's answer and accept the answer, even if it's not the answer that you wanted? But it's the answer God wants you to have. This has got to be one of the most difficult parables and teachings of Jesus on prayer. Not difficult to understand, but difficult to live by. Because I know what I want. I know what would make me happy. I know what would make me feel good. I know how I could live life better, could be more effective as a minister, be more involved in my work in HR and safety and training that I do through the week. I know what I want. And that's what I prayed for. And God says, no, Kevin, that's not where I want you to go. Not the direction I want you to take. You see, 6 years ago, I was looking for another preaching job. I was 55 years old. I had no kids. Everybody wants a young guy with kids. I couldn't find a church that wanted me. And God brought a man in my life named Dan Snow, who was a member of the congregation, that says, you know, Kevin, you have 30 years experience working with people, and I need an HR guy. I need somebody to come in my office and be a human resources manager, pull a human resources director together, and God has put me in touch with all kinds of people I would have never got to talk to about Jesus in that job. And he brings me places like the North A Church of Christ and Alpine and Tarzan and other places that I've got to go that I would have never done in what I was doing for 33 years before that. Well, that wasn't the answer I wanted, but that was God's answer. And God has unfolded things in my life that would have never happened if I got what I wanted. How about your prayer life? How about things you prayed about last night? Or you prayed about this morning? First of all, are you persistent? Do you understand that you have a loving God that cares about you and longs to make you happy and to help you, but over your happiness is His will? And God will answer your prayers, but the answer that you get may not be the answer you're looking for, may not be the answer that you want, but it's the answer that you need to accomplish God's will in your life. It'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you look for answers in your prayer life.
And Jesus taught us this parable about this harsh judge and this widow with her Nike tennis shoes on to teach us to be persistent in prayer. Not because we've got to grab this out of God and make Him give us justice. But God wants us to be persistent because it tells us how we really feel about something. And to be faithful in that. And when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will He find this faithfulness in prayer on the earth?